Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a special Monday night edition of Matt Chat live on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Ace Diamond. And tonight, I am finally going to be joined by Scott Hensley of the Scenic City Invitational to run down this year's tournament and discuss, you know, some of the big moments that happened during the tournament. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to this because it was two of the greatest nights of wrestling I've seen in a long time. And ladies and gentlemen, Scott Hensley. Scott, how you doing, my friend?
Hey, I'm good. Thank you for having me, and I apologize for last week once again.
Hey, it happens. It's not the first time. It won't be the last, I guarantee it. But like I was just saying, the Scenic City Invitational was two of the best nights of wrestling I've seen in a very long time.
Well, I really appreciate that. Yeah, I was really happy with how everything came out. And, you know, we had 16 guys in the tournament that worked really hard, as well as some special surprises on night two. And had a good turnout of fans and raised a little over $7,500 for the school.
Wow, that's awesome. It's always good to be able to do good work like that for a good cause. And like you said, there were some great action on both nights, some big surprises on night two. I want to talk about... I want to talk about... there's a few things in particular I want to talk about. The very first match of the tournament, Slim J versus B-Boy.
Yeah, two guys that don't age, apparently.
Apparently not, because when I heard that they both had almost 20 years of experience, I was shocked. Because
yeah, it's pretty
they
amazing.
Don't look old
those
enough
guys,
to have...
those guys are just absolutely incredible, and they've both been guys that have given back to wrestling and trained guys and have just stayed in phenomenal shape over the years and are just absolute masters of their craft.
Absolutely. And that was, like we said, for two guys that have been in the business that long, that match proved why they've been around for so long, because they can still do it and do it at a high caliber.
Definitely. And, you know, B-Boy came up short, but, man, the crowd really showed him appreciation. He was pretty emotional after the weekend of you know, he came in and did Crux Wrestling on Thursday night in nearby Red Bank, Tennessee, at the TWE Arena nearby. And then he did two nights with us, and then he did Sunday afternoon in Nashville at Southern Underground Pro. And he got standing ovations after every match.
I have to say, they were well-deserved standing ovations.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably only the second time that he's come through the Southeast. And, you know, the last time was just a short little couple of days. But, you know, this time we were able to work with him, and he was able to work with three different organizations in the same area. And just a big fan base here that just absolutely loves wrestling. And so it was really cool to see the fans give back to a guy that's given so much to wrestling.
Absolutely. Now, another match I want to talk about, because it's a match that stuck out to me. It was our co-guest last time you were on, Billy Buck, lost in the first round to Marco Stunt. That had to be one of the biggest upsets of the tournament, I would have to say.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Billy Buck did not have a great weekend. We talked about how he is a guy that can work with any style and is a very accomplished guy, but Marco Stunt got the better of him on night one, and then night two, Billy Buck fell a little short there with teaming with King Bailey Blake and Lutha X versus the Carnies and Jaden Newman. But, Billy is a guy now that he just gets too confident in the ring, and he puts his hands on officials, and he actually has an ongoing feud with one of my partners, Matt Griffin, who runs Action Wrestling, and he and Billy have really gotten into it lately. And so that was the guy that jumped up on the apron there was Action Wrestling owner and founder Matt Griffin. He's not going to tolerate it. Matt is a guy that he's a former Marine. He is a former professional wrestler and a champion himself. And he's a guy that really tries to have respect for everybody. And so to see somebody just put their hands on officials and to just be generally miserable like Billy Buck can be, Matt had enough and got involved there. And Marco Stunt benefited from it.
Yeah, that was I've known a lot of Marines, and you don't mess with Marines.
Absolutely not.
One of my favorite matches, because I like big guy fights. I call them hoss fights. I know a lot of people do too. O'Shea Edwards versus J.D. Drake. That was just classic. To me, that is Southern wrestling.
Oh, yeah. Those guys came to throw down.
Exactly. Two guys just throwing down, just beating the heck out of each other. To me, that's what Southern wrestling is all about.
Yeah, and both of those guys are not only just big brawlers, but they're so athletic and fast, and they're really hybrid athletes. I know for sure that O'Shea Edwards has a football background, and it would not surprise me to find out that Drake does as well. But, you know, J.D. Drake has had a lot of success lately, climbing the ranks of Evolve Wrestling and, recently competing on the WWE Network in a phenomenal match with Austin Theory, who just appeared on NXT. But O'Shea Edwards is a guy that's really climbing the ladder, and this was a tall test for him that he actually overcame. And as we talk about this, you know, he's a guy that ended up going on to the second round and then actually making it to the final. And he's a guy that was a Southeast guy when we booked this tournament, but actually moved up to Baltimore, Maryland to join the Ring of Honor Dojo. So he's a guy that's really trying to take this seriously and make something out of this. Since being up in the Northeast, he's battled guys like KTB, and he battled Necro Butcher just a couple weeks before the Scenic City Invitational. So he's really getting after it.
Yeah, I've only seen him wrestle a few times, but he's really, really impressed me.
Yeah, just now, a really charismatic guy. Yeah.
Yeah, that was he was completely impressive.
I do like to tell people the story of of O'Shea Edwards sort of behind the scenes, just a look at who he is as a person. So somebody asked me down at Action Wrestling, actually, they said, hey, have you seen O'Shea? And I said, yes, he's in the back and he has guys crowded around him and he's explaining to them how to raise their credit score. So that was legitimate.
Okay.
Like that actually happened.
That's definitely interesting.
It is, but I mean, that just goes to show that, you know, he's a really good guy and a really smart guy. And, you know, he's not just an in-ring talent. He is an out of the ring thinking guy. That's somebody you want around.
Absolutely. Yeah, that sounds like a good person to have in a locker room anywhere. So, now due to a double elimination on night one, on night two, there was a six-way scramble match, which personally was one of my favorite matches of the tournament.
Yeah, that's the highest stakes we've ever had for the scramble. Our scramble match, this was the third year that we've had it. In the past couple of years, it's been a match where the person that wins actually ends up going into the Scenic City Rumble, which will be in January or February of this year. But they get to choose their spot in the Rumble. Kyle Matthews actually chose number one, and then AC Mack chose number 30 this past year. But this year it was for an actual spot in round two.
Now, of the six guys that were in this match, two of them stood out to me. And I even tweeted how I'm shocked that neither one of them has a contract, and that's Warhorse Jake Parnell and Manders.
Yeah, Manders had a great weekend with us. He's a guy that's really on the rise. He is a Seth Rollins trainee at the Black and Brave Academy. He won the Scenic City Futures Showcase tournament, which if you haven't seen that yet, that is also on IWTV, and he has an incredible match with Jake Garvin and Zachary Cooper. Have you had a chance to watch the Futures Showcase?
No, I haven't.
Oh man, you got to check it out. There's plenty more. There's a couple more Manders matches for you there, but yeah, Manders had a good showing, and Warhorse is just an intense individual. Also in that match was Dominic Guarini. He's had some pretty high profile matches, and he and Kevin Koo actually compete as Violence Is Forever, a tag team that is they're facing maybe it's Tom Lawler and somebody else that's very scary and accomplished, but they have a lot of high profile matches coming up and big opportunities. But you know, the other guys in that match, guys like Matt Sells and Alan Angels, Graham Bell, those are guys that are also out there really pounding the pavement and trying to make names for themselves. And Matt Sells is on a losing streak right now, but is one of the most entertaining guys probably in the Southeast right now.
Also in the second round, you had AC Mack, who got the win over Marco Stunt, which was, to me, kind of disappointing. I was looking for Marco Stunt to go all the way.
Oh,
but that
course,
was a very good match.
Yeah, AC Mack is one of the most charismatic guys in the Southeast, if not beyond that. And, you know, Marco came out, you know, I just don't know that he got serious enough. He came out and was doing the AC Mack introduction himself, and, you know, maybe a little bit of a mind game going on there. But AC Mack gets real serious real quick and was able to put him away.
Yeah, like I said, that was kind of disappointing. I was looking for Marco to go all the way, at least into the finals.
Yeah, Marco was a guy that we were really, really proud to be a part of sort of his rise in independent wrestling. He won our Futures event last year and has been a part of several other things that we've been a part of with Action Wrestling and Southern Underground Pro. And, you know, he is a Southeastern guy, and he is the guy. You know, he's also, as we've talked about, with the charismatic guys. But, man, he's just so likable. And, you know, how can you not root for an underdog like him that just has the fun personality that he has?
Absolutely. Now, coming off his loss in the first round, B-Boy came back and defeated Brett Eisen in a non-tournament match, which, again, such a good match.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun there. Brett Eisen and B-Boy had actually had one battle before this at a local Resolute Wrestling nearby, and the last time and only time that B-Boy had come through the area. So when both of those guys didn't make it through to the second round, it was a no-brainer to go ahead and let them have match number two. And I believe they are split 1-1 now. B-Boy won the match at Resolute. I mean, Eisen won the match at Resolute, and B-Boy won at Scenic City. So perhaps in the future somebody will have match number three there. And, you know, Brett Eisen's a guy that, also, you know, like B-Boy, got some huge reactions this weekend. Eisen has reigned supreme up at Southern Underground Pro as their champion, and he's really come into his own. He's a guy that sort of people probably look at as like, oh, you know, he's like a hardcore wrestler type guy. And I think he's a hardcore personality type guy, but he can really get in there and throw down with the fists too. You know, he is more of a brawler type guy, but he can also hook some guys for drivers, and he can throw some people around. He's not a small person.
No, he's not. And in a match we referenced a few minutes ago, the six-man tag team match, Jaden Newman and the Carnies defeated Bailey Blake, Billy Buck, and Lufa X. Probably one of the best six-man tag team matches I've seen this year.
Wow, I like hearing that. You know, Bailey Blake is a guy that feuds locally with Jaden Newman, and so when Jaden didn't make it through to the second round, Bailey and then also Lutha X, who had already been in the Futures tournament, they banded together with Billy Buck to form resistance against the Carnies and Jaden. You know, the Carnies came out there and they didn't come out with a partner. I don't know what their plan was, but once Bailey Blake, Billy Buck, and Lutha X came out, Jaden Newman made the save there. The Carnies are sometimes a three-man team with Trip Cassidy, but Jaden Newman sort of adopted as a Carney on night two, and Jaden trains with Kerry Offal at Crux Wrestling, which at the end of that match, Kerry sort of grabs up Lutha and gives him some praise as well, which Lutha is also a Crux Wrestling trainee locally here, and a guy that actually has a lot of personality. I don't think he really got a chance to show all of his personality this weekend, as he was sort of thrown in a three-way match in the Futures and then the six-man tag here. But one-on-one, Lutha X has a ton of potential and a ton of personality.
And, of course, the tournament final four-way elimination match, the man who came the farthest to compete, Daniel Makabe defeated AC Mack, Jake Parnell, and O'Shea Edwards.
Yeah, Makabe had a he had a rough go. You know, he was ambushed on the way to the ring, and I don't know. Have you seen a picture of his ear?
I saw it on the video. I saw it on the stream. I have not seen a picture of it since then. It looked pretty well destroyed. So, yeah, I haven't seen it since then, but yeah, it looked pretty gnarly when I saw it on the stream.
If you have access to your DM box on Twitter there, I just sent you a close-up picture of Daniel's ear where AC Mack busted him open coming out. And so he was helped to the back and got some medical attention there. I believe one of the Sobros does have some medical training, and he put a butterfly bandage on Daniel's ear, and Daniel was able to go back out there as, you know, Mac caught his beating. He got his comeuppance. He tried to play a cat and mouse game and had him running all over the arena, and it was just ridiculous. And Marco and Jaden chased him right back to the ring where O'Shea and Warhorse were very serious and were waiting for him. So they were able to take out Mac there and then throw down themselves, which Warhorse got the better of. But then, you know, Mac, being the advantageous wrestler that he is, slid in to roll up Parnell, and he thought he had it won. But then the valiant return of Daniel Makabe there, he was able to come out, and man, what a weekend he had. You know, we didn't even talk about the Tony Deppen match. What were your thoughts on night one with Makabe and Deppen?
You know, that was a very good match. That was, I don't think there was a bad match all weekend, honestly. Like, every single match had me totally invested. Usually when I watch wrestling anymore, go ahead.
Sorry. I was just going to say that, you know, I also agree with you that I did not think there was a bad match, but there was a couple matches I wish would have got a little bit more reaction. But as far as just a bad match, I did not think so. I do agree with you there. Sorry to cut you off.
That's okay. Lately, when I watch wrestling, I am watching wrestling and doing 50 million different other things. All this Scenic City Invitational weekend, I was watching wrestling. That was it. I was totally invested. I didn't take my eyes off. I was watching it on my laptop. I did not take my eyes off the laptop once. And that was very new to me, because over the years I've gotten to the point where I'm less invested than I used to be. Growing up, you know, probably like you, somebody turns wrestling on, that's it. That's what I'm doing. Laser focused on wrestling. Anymore, it's gotten to the point where, with WWE at least, I can do 5 or 10 other things and not really feel like I've missed a whole lot. With this, I was totally locked in.
Yeah, I really appreciate hearing that. And also, you know, I think when I watch WWE now, I always sort of think, well, you know, if it's something that's really good, then I can go back and watch it. But, you know, growing up, there wasn't the WWE Network. And I know that the Phoenix City Invitational Tournament is on IWTV, and you can watch it on demand at any time, you know, sort of like the WWE Network. But there are some things that you just feel like are can't miss. And, you know, which I did miss the NXT pay-per-view this weekend, which I'm kicking myself for, and we'll have to go back and rewatch. But that's been something that I've really enjoyed. And, you know, I still try to keep up with it. But it really makes me happy to hear that, you know, that Phoenix City Invitational was something that was sort of can't miss for you and that held your attention. We do try to be I guess we try to be intentional about our time limits for the matches, and you know, we're holding all those to 15 minutes for that first night, and we're trying to get the action out there as soon as the other action ends. And we ended up let's see, I think night one was maybe, it was a little under 2.5 hours, and then night two was maybe like 5 minutes over 2.5 hours, which I don't know if the edited version that made it to IWTV, I don't know the exact times on those, but to have two nights of action that was, you know, 5 hours total, you know, I think that's pretty watchable.
Absolutely. Now, just out of curiosity, for my own personal curiosity, has the tournament gotten its dates for next year yet?
Actually, we have. We are making an announcement tomorrow, but I will give you the exclusive right here, right now. So we already went ahead and made our arrangements to have it again at Soddy Daisy High School. It's probably about 15 minutes north of downtown Chattanooga, and our dates are July 31st is a Friday, and August 1st is the Saturday. I'm not sure exactly what other events we will have planned. We'll certainly have a futures tournament on Saturday, probably at 2 o'clock, and then each night, the Friday and Saturday night shows, we'll have doors open at 6:30 p.m. Eastern and a bell time of 7:30 p.m. Eastern time. So July 31st, August 1st, Soddy Daisy High School, exclusive right here.
Excellent. I've got my little reminder. I put in that whole weekend just to try to make sure I don't miss anything. So hopefully, unlike this year, next year Matt Chat can be live at the Scenic City Invitational.
Yeah, that would be great.
But I'm about out of time. Scott, I want to thank you again for coming on the show and talking about the Scenic City Invitational. And
thank you.
I'm looking forward to next year.
Definitely. Thank you so much for having us before and for doing the recap with me here. It was a lot of fun and had a lot of great results this year.
Absolutely. And when any of your events come up, I'll message you, and maybe we can do at least a before show, if not a before and a recap.
Yeah, next event is October 26th. It's a Saturday. It's going to be at Sell Creek Middle High School. It's about 15 minutes further down the road than Soddy Daisy High School, but it's Tank's Scenic City Throwdown. We are already making announcements about that. Just announced tonight, former NWA World Heavyweight Champion Jax Dane is going to be in the house, and he will be in action. Also on the event, Chris Dickinson versus Vordell Walker. So we are really looking forward to those two guys just absolutely throwing down, and we'll try to get together before then.
Sounds good.
Hey,
like I
so
said,
much.
I'm about out of time. Thank you. Have a great night, Scott.
You too. Thanks, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Scott Hensley. Have a good night, everybody.